We've come together for a service of thanksgiving and of remembrance for the life of Brian McPhee, our loved family member, dear friend, neighbour, colleague, community member, with whom we shared our lives for all too short a time. On behalf of Brian's family, I welcome you here, and I thank you for your presence and all that it means to them at a time when they so keenly need your support and your love and your help. And I thank you all for everything you've done to help them in these past few terrible days. What is a service like this for? Well, it is a Christian service. We aren't just swapping empty words here today. We're seeking God. We're offering him our thanks for everything in Brian's life that was a blessing to us. We're asking, perhaps we're pleading for his help today, his presence and his mercy. We're hoping for the understanding that he can give us, even in tragic circumstances, to help us make sense of everything. And we're seeking his peace as together we say our farewells to Brian. Brian McPhee left us at the tender age of 24, early in the morning of Friday, the 18th of December. His last words, posted on his Facebook page, were, "I'm sorry to all my loved ones." As the tragedy became apparent, we struggled to understand what lay behind Brian's decision. As his family says, he was always wanting to better himself and seemed to be moving forward. In school, at primary and high school, Brian's native intelligence and articulate mind enabled him to handle the range of subjects on offer and to do well in those which held his attention. He was particularly gifted in art and technical subjects, so it was natural for him, when he left school, to progress to study art and design at college. He had a flair for this and produced some very talented work, but sadly he lost his lodgings and had to give up the course, which was a great shame, for his artistic potential was never fully realised. He moved back home for a time. I think it was round about this time he worked with Ray in the Chippy, and then went to work with his brother Gary as a commis chef in the Royal Hotel in Portree. Well, that was not the job for him. He didn't like being stuck indoors, so he moved back to Inverness and began a joinery apprenticeship. He seemed to have inherited his father's skills in working with wood, but again, this didn't work out as the firm he was with went under. Back in Plockton again, he began fishing with, as his family says, his best friend as companion, finding yet another employment in which he could thrive. He passed various courses with flying colours in sea survival and other skills, and was progressing well. Obviously a gifted man, who could put his head down and work well at what he was interested in. From what I remember myself, and many others have confirmed, something stood out about Brian's character. He was easygoing. He was very polite. Even, I'm told by teachers, when they were giving him a reprimand, he was still polite. He was kind. He would gladly help anyone he could. And he was popular. Everyone knew Brian. It's sometimes said that it takes a community to raise a child. And that was certainly true in Brian's case. Everyone had a soft spot for him, even though he could be cheeky and wild, not my words. In turn, Brian's house was the place to go. He would always make you welcome and brighten your day with his wit, his smile, and his handsome good looks. As several folk have said to me, Brian liked a good party. But others have hinted that there were darker shadows of pain lurking in his thoughts and heart, although he hid those well and perhaps was able to forget them, surrounded by friends, having a good time. Nevertheless, what happened a week last Thursday night stunned us all and leaves everyone who knew him wanting to be able to just to turn the clock back and help him safely through the darkness in which, sadly, he lost his way. Instead, we must attempt to be thankful for all we had of him, for the times we shared, and for all that was good in his life. It's a difficult task, and one for which we need one another, and we need God's help. Now, I think at this point I'll just read the text on a card which Liz has passed to me, and as she says, it sums up for her and perhaps for many, in the words on the card, feelings that she has and others have which they can't really put into words. It runs like this: when someone dies, their spirit lives on in us. We can't hug them or see them with our eyes, but we can still feel them in our hearts. That brings me comfort. I hope it does for you too. When we love someone, they become an indelible force in our lives, even after they're gone. We remember the way they told a joke, wore their hair, and walked into a room. The littlest things will trigger memories of the sound of their voice, their scent, the times we spent with them. We recall how they dealt with hard situations when we are faced with the same things. We think about them for no reason at all. What would they say right now? We will always wonder, are they watching over us? Do they know how much we miss them? Even though we will never see loved ones who've passed on walk through the front door again, I hope you can find peace with the knowledge that you'll always have a part of them with you. When we love someone, their spirit lives forever in our hearts. As a congregation and as a community, we extend our heartfelt sympathy to Brian's family, to his father, Dan, and his mother, Elizabeth, his sister, Danielle, and his brother, Gary, to his girlfriend, Jolene. Jolene has prepared a beautiful scrapbook record of their time together. I think some of you have seen it as you've been waiting here for the service to begin. We extend also our heartfelt sympathy to the wider family on Brian's mother's side, his uncles Brian and Alexander, nieces Chloe and Lacey and Shelby, whom I'm told Brian adored, and on his father's side, his uncle Johnny, aunts Wilma, Kathy, Jesse, Marianne, all of their partners and families, to special cousins Brian was close to. And we also remember Brian's friends. And there were many. I'm going to name a few of them. If I don't mention you, it's just because I'm not aware of your friendship with him, but you know that, which was more important. Brian's friends, we extend our sympathy to Christopher, Richard, Alistair, Ian, David, Natasha, Kelsa, John, Gordon, Ronan, Gavin, Mark, many others in Plockton and much further afield. Forgive me if I've missed you out. We extend our sympathy to you. May God enfold you. May God comfort you. And may God lead you to himself. On our order of service today, there are two songs we're going to sing. We're going to begin now by singing the first of those. It is the 23rd Psalm. It begins with the words, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll not want." That means I'll not lack. I won't lack anything, because he makes me lie down in pastures green and leads me beside quiet waters and restores my soul. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, as the third verse says, I will fear no ill, for he is with us. So we're going to stand and sing in a moment from this psalm, The Lord is My Shepherd. And thank you to Catherine for leading us on the organ. Let's bow for a moment in prayer together. Let's join in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that we are meeting together this afternoon in your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for the words that we've just sung together. And we pray, living God, that we may know each one of us through personally turning to you what it is to have you as our good shepherd. For we are in need of being a flock under your care today. And we confess, Lord, as we gather, how readily we wander away and we get ourselves into places that we really realise we shouldn't be in or wish we weren't in. And today, living God, as we come before you and our hearts are raw, our emotions are tender because of the tragedy that we are marking here today. The loss of a very dear and precious life from our community, a young life full of potential, who touched so many hearts. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you will help us to turn to you for your comfort and your strength and your help. Please forgive us our sins, anything that comes between us and you, that we may know you leading us, as we've just sung, into green pastures and beside still waters, to places where we will feel once again peace and calm, and where our souls will be restored by your grace. And so, Lord, we place this short service into your hands, knowing that in our words we can never really express what needs to be said, knowing, Lord, that in our words often we will actually simply fail to express what needs to be said. Maybe even we will say the wrong thing. But living God, please, we thank you that your words, which we're about to read, will always say the right thing to us. So speak to our hearts now and help us, Lord, not to reject but to receive what you would say to us today, that good may come even from the worst of circumstances. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to take two short readings from the Bible. One is from the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 130. The other one is from the Gospel of John, from the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. Psalm 130. Out, Lord, out of the depths I cry to you. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And in the Gospel of John, just a few words from the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus is speaking about himself as a shepherd and also as the gate for the sheep. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, may the Good Shepherd bless his words into our lives and situation today. Now, I'm just going to speak for a couple of minutes now. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. I'm not going to beat about the bush today. This is a tragedy. We all have questions, and we need to hear the answers, even if we don't like them. We don't want this to happen to anyone else, to another family, to another circle of friends. My first question then is this: whose fault was it? Whose fault was it? And I'm not going to point a finger, but it's a question we should think about. A suicide like Brian's is not a rational choice. It's a choice made when someone's mind is in a dark place. It's not a logical step from where someone is at in life to then take their life. Brian had family. He had many supportive friends, people in this community. There were caring and professional people he could have turned to for help. It didn't need to be like this, and it shouldn't have been. Today, if you are in a dark place yourself, and you have thoughts about ending your life, then however difficult it may be for you, get talking with people. Please, please get talking with people who will support you through to a better place. That may be difficult, but it is nothing like as difficult as the wreckage that is left behind for everyone else in a situation like this. Take a look around you today. See how many people are devastated by what has happened. And for their sakes and for yours, if you're in a dark place, get help. Let none of us here inflict this grief on the rest of us. If you're thinking and seeing clearly today, you'll agree that suicide is not a good thing to do. It's not the answer. But if you reach out for help, not only will you find the love and the support of your family and friends and community and professionals, but if you reach further, you will even find the love and support of God through Jesus, His forgiveness, and the way He alone can relieve the burdens of our hearts. So, whose fault was it? Well, it was Brian's decision. But it was one he made when dark thoughts were clearly clouding his mind. When private spectres seemed to forbid further progress in his life. And who can guess what those spectres were? Fears, worries, doubts, despair, weariness, disappointment, hopelessness. But it was Brian's decision. It wasn't your decision. Other decisions were possible for Brian, positive ones. He just didn't see that at the time. But some of you will be thinking, I know you are, was there something I missed? Was there something I should have done? Those closest to Brian will be saying things like, if only I'd done this, if only I'd said that, if only I'd picked up the clues, if only I'd stayed with him that night, whatever. And you're partly blaming yourselves. But you weren't to know what was coming. Don't blame yourself for missing small things. Blaming yourself in that sort of way is false guilt. And don't indulge in false guilt, because it will only torment you for no good. It will prevent you from focusing on the real issues, and it can be very self-indulgent. Listen, you were there for Brian. You were his family. You were his friends. You were his community. And if you had seen this coming, and known a way to stop it, you would have followed that way for Brian's sake, because you loved him. And even if you had a little falling out or a disagreement with him, that's no reason for him to have taken his life. We all have fallings out with people all the time, and usually we just move on. Your falling out was not the reason why this happened. So please, be free from false guilt. Focus on the things you did that were reasons for Brian to live, to choose life, and choose life for yourself. Don't listen to that thief Jesus spoke about, but listen to Jesus himself. He said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." What if someone here knows deep down that you sowed some of the seeds of the darkness that finally took hold of Brian a week last Thursday night? If you know deep down that the choices you made, the example you set, or the attitude you showed towards him over a period of time became a heavy burden to him, that is real guilt. Real guilt is guilt before the living God. Nothing and no one can remove that guilt except God himself. You might think to yourself, but God is the last person I would go to, if he even exists. But remember the words of the psalm that we read. Where was the person crying to God from? Out of the depths. Out of the depths I cry to you. If you're in the depths, you can cry to God. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Let that be printed on our minds. With God, there is forgiveness. We can turn to him. If we're in the depths, from there we can cry to God, and God can give us forgiveness. And as the psalm says, full redemption for all that's wrong in our lives. A new life. You may not have thought about these things much, but they can make all the difference. They can be the difference between hope or hopelessness, between life and death. God's perfect love takes away the fear that guilt brings, the fear of condemnation, and brings you to a place where you know how precious you really are to him. He will be a true and a good father. He'll never let you down. Perhaps these things seem strange to you, but you have questions. If you'd like to discuss them further, I'm sure there are people who'd be glad to discuss them with you. I'd be glad to discuss them with you. Maybe in the new year we can get together a few people who'd like to ask the questions and discuss them. Get them together somewhere in the village here so that we can try and help each other. I'd be glad to do that if I can help even one person to choose life. And for those of you who are younger here, my colleague Dave Mockett, who's away just now on holiday, but Dave, known to those of you Brian's age and younger, has offered to help with this too. So let us know if that would be helpful to you. Because I've got another question as well, just very briefly. Can any good come out of this? Well, good can come from death. It doesn't always, though. Good came from Jesus' death. He said, "I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus gave his life for the sheep as a payment to God a payment to God for our sins. We all here today carry this burden called guilt about all sorts of things we've done wrong in our lives. It's like a weight on our hearts. We can try to get rid of it. We can drink to forget it, but it'll still be there. Receiving Jesus into our lives means we know He's taken away that burden. He died to pay for our sins. It'll be taken away. And we can ask Jesus into our lives through prayer. So can good come out of this? Well, that's up to you and to me. If what has happened makes you listen to dark and despairing music, experiment with the occult, drink more, take drugs more, harden your heart more, retreat into yourself more, argue more, condemn others more, you're just making things worse for yourself and for everyone else. And you're making a repeat of this tragedy more likely. And besides, if what's happened makes you do all these things, it's disrespectful to Brian. It's disrespectful to his memory. Because you don't have to do these things. You can do better. If Brian's death instead brings us to share our burdens with each other, if it brings us closer together, if it makes even one of you seek the help that you need, if it makes you seek God and find His forgiveness and peace and life, then at least some good will come out of this terrible tragedy. So let's resolve, each of us, to make the right choices following these events. We're going to pray again now. Let's bow in prayer for a moment. Lord, we come before You then, thanking You for what Your word has said to us. Lord, help us to see this time as a challenge that each one of us may do better, that we may put away from us dark things, and that we may embrace the light in our lives. We know, Lord, that for some here it's hard to believe what has happened and hard to find words. And we pray as a congregation, especially for young people of around Brian's age, for whom this is the first time that tragedy has really hit home so closely, who can't comprehend that someone their own age could be taken from them in this way. Please, living God, let this be the time when they look up to You and look out for help for one another, support one another, love one another, make good choices, and learn good things even out of these terrible circumstances. Please let this be a time somehow that our community is lifted up, and that our community resolves not in any way to allow circumstances to arise within it out of which tragic losses like this can come. Please help us to do better, each one of us and as a community. We ask, Heavenly Father, that You will especially come alongside Brian's family. What grief is like the grief of parents for a child who is gone? And please comfort and embrace Dan and Liz. Please, Father, help them especially through this time. remember Gary and Danielle and cousins and wider family, all those who have tears in their eyes and heavy burdens in their hearts today. And remember Brian's wide circle of friends. We thank you, Lord, for him, that he was the kind of person who drew together friends. And we thank you, Father, today for everything in our memory of him that is good, that is bright, that is happy, that is positive. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we may be nurtured by these memories as well. Heavenly Father, please then embrace each one of us here. Special friends. Remember Jolene, Christopher, others, Lord. I won't name them. There's many of them here. Others perhaps not able to be here, but in other places, whose thoughts with us. Comfort them all, we pray. Let them know the voice of your mercy in their lives, because there is forgiveness. Guilt can be taken away, and we praise and worship you for that. Lord God, please then hear our prayers now. We come before you in grief and in weakness. And each one of us, Lord, has found it hard to say the right thing or do the right thing in these circumstances, because within ourselves we do not have the answers, but you do. Draw us close to yourself, and with our questions help us to seek for the answers in the right places. And most of all, through your Son, Jesus. So thank you, Lord. Thank you that you can bring good, even out of evil and tragic circumstances. And please, living God, let us take positive things from today. And help us to remember in our own scrapbook, in our minds and in our hearts, precious and beautiful and positive things that can lift us up. We need lifting up today. Lord, I've no doubt forgotten many things and forgotten to say many things. But please, Heavenly Father, make up that deficit in the lives of each of us today. Let us all hear today what we need to hear. And go with us now in your mercy and goodness through our Saviour Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing again, this time the words of the hymn, Amazing Grace. These words are the story of a man, originally John Newton, who was a slave trader, who found the burdens, the guilt of his heart taken away through Jesus. May each one of us know that for ourselves today, and know God's amazing grace, his forgiveness. So let's stand and let's sing out the words of this hymn. Thank you, Kathy. just repeat on behalf of Ryan's family, Dan and Liz and all the family, thank you for your presence and your support here and the many ways you've assisted them over the past few days. I'd like to thank Dougie Pincock as well for setting up the sound system so that anyone outside could hear. And from now we're going out of the church. There's a collection box at the door which is in aid of the local branch of the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, so please donate to that if you can. And as we're leaving the church, a very moving lament, the Fisherman's Song by the group Silly Wizard, will be played. Now you can use both doors when you're leaving the church today, and just make your way straight to your cars and lifts, because we're just going to go straight over, following the cortege, over to the Balmacara New Cemetery. Now the parking over there is not brilliant, so please first of all fill up the wee car park beside the cemetery. Try and stay off the main road and the verges if you can, and try not to travel over alone. If you can fill a car, that will ease the parking and be easier for everyone. After the interment, the family warmly invite you back to the Plockton Hotel. Soup and sandwiches will be provided there. That's at the Plockton Hotel after the interment. Now let's stand just for the closing benediction together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest upon and remain with each one of you, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you, Abby. Thank you.
Needs a man to allow.